news jobs. They're old, grumpy, and are pretty opinionated. Here's your hosts, it's Mark and Jamie.
I believe so, yeah.
I believe it is too. So hello and welcome to episode 88 of the Carpcast, the pre-Christmas edition. How are we today, Mark?
As I just said, I've squeezed into the old podcasting office. I think there's been one or two pictures of it in the past, only now my wife's invaded it and filled it full of Star Wars Lego. So she's downstairs. I've been banished up here with warnings not to touch anything. I'm surrounded by an AT-AT, Slave One, a ridiculously large TIE fighter, and the Millennium Falcon. And three BB-8s. My wife has issues.
I'm the most organised I've ever been for Christmas. We got all the shopping done last week. She's done the food shopping this week, and I've gone fishing. I think it's great. Go fishing and just miss out all the stress.
I think I broke a record the other day.
Yeah.
I was in and out of Meadowhall in about, I think it took me about 5 minutes to walk in, get what I wanted, walk out, and that includes getting a coffee on the way out as well. I was starting to get wound up in wanting to kick people, but yeah. No, I left.
Yeah, we did. Rachel had a list, and we did a bit on Amazon, and whipped round a couple of shops, two or three shops, and then into town. And I'll tell you what, we got it done in an hour, and I was still cured. Absolutely cured. But I feel so relieved, and yeah, I've gone fishing for a few days, gone down to Nash's, recorded a Christmas message for our Christmas edition. This is going to be a brief episode. I had a chat with Mark Holmes the other day. Obviously he's been in the thick of the internet furore at the minute, and he sent me a message asking if he could say some stuff. And I gladly agreed. So this is going to be a brief one from Mark and I, Mark Watson and myself, and we'll get Mark Holmes on very shortly. But there is a couple of things going on. I mean, I called you 10 minutes ago, Mark, just to see, make sure we could record tonight, and I had a bite almost straight away, didn't I?
Yeah, I picked up the phone. I was actually sat on the toilet playing solitaire on the phone at the time. It rang, and all I could hear down the other end was, "Oh, shit, beep, 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 beep."
Is that where you usually play solitaire?
Oh, no. It depends, you know, Space Invaders, I'm old school.
Do you always choose the toilet for your games?
They're going to pass the time.
Yes.
What else do you do when you're up there? You know, really old school, you used to have a copy of the paper up there, but, you know, a dog-eared pile of old Anglian Times. But now we've moved on to the next generation. So anyway, we're talking about your fish. You phoned me up. You got a kind of, it sounded like a stuttering run. So
it was a zig rod. Half the rods that I've got out are on zigs, and it's been dead. Roger got down here a day before me. Roger actually went home last night. I've stayed down here because there's an epic Nash party going on, which I'll tell you more about in a minute. That's the main reason why I've come down. And it's been dead. When I got here, the lake was 3/4 frozen. I didn't fish the first night I got here because where I wanted to fish was covered in ice, and I got here after dark. So Roger was in the only sort of fishable quarter of the lake, which is where he had all of his fish from, or most of the 11 fish he had 3 weeks ago before it froze up. And set up, we not had a beep between us, like all our rods between us, not a single beep. The water's just been dead, like absolutely dead. When I arrived, the morning it thawed, it was 2.1 degrees. Roger's got his thermometer, he's measuring it. And I think it was 6 degrees when he was catching all the fish 3 weeks ago. So obviously it's way below that. And it's gone mild, as you probably know. The whole country's in double figures today. By yesterday, it was 2.8 or something. And Roger's gone now. Les took the temperature this morning. It's 3.4, which is obviously going in the right direction. Anyway.
That's positively tropical.
Yeah. And then Carl and Alex have turned up this afternoon. They're here for the Nash party. They've got their rods out. I think Mark, Pinpoint Mark Rosen, Think he's got rods out somewhere. I know he certainly said he was going to come up, but he wasn't there as it got dark. But I know he was coming and wanted to stick a rod out before the party. And things started happening, like somebody flicked a switch. I've got rods in two different corners of the lake, like I'm sort of set up in the middle. I've got rods left and right. And I've been getting liners on both rods, three or four that I thought were going to develop into bites. Carl and Alex have been getting quite a few beeps. They've had one that they think might have been a trailer. It's weird, like both bobbins sort of like lifted to the top and they picked up and they felt something weird. Think it might be a trailer. Which is odd because everybody should be using barbless hooks. So I don't know if there's any trailers in here. But we did in that corner where they're fishing. Actually, Roger and I are having a walk around with a marker float. You know, just leading around and seeing how the spots have changed and stuff since we were last here. And we did pull in a, looks like somebody's marker set up. It was quite a lot of braid, like 25 yards of braid with a tiny little lead on the end. Looked like they've just been leading around with it. No rig or anything, just a lead tied on. And I'm wondering if they've lost that somehow and maybe somebody's cut off on it, on the braid, rubbing against the braid. I don't know. Oh, and another beep. Yeah, so anyway, things definitely have started happening all in the last 2 or 3 hours. And then I called you to see if we could get this. And one of my rods that hasn't beeped at all at any point, which is a Zig. It's on a foot and a half, 2 foot Zig, sort of cast pretty close in, like 6 wraps just in front of me. That went, but it was a weird take, very stuttery sort of take. I think it was probably one of the very small fish, you know, like the 10 pounders that are bred in here. I think it's possibly one of them, but I'll take a 10 pounder before I go home, definitely. So it's really weird though, from being completely dead, like really dead, not a, you know, the cliche, not even a roach fart, not that there's any roach in it, but just nothing breaking the surface, birds just feeling dead, and it's just changed in the last 2 hours. So I'm really confident that somebody will have a bite either during the party tonight or in the morning. I'm very confident, because it's warm for the next 7 days at least. I reckon if I can get a chance to come back after New Year and we haven't had any more cold weather, if it stays like this, we'll be back up to the 6-7 degrees, the water temperature. I'm sure of it. So have you been fishing?
Yes, I have, but when you're just on about water temperature, I had to go for a swim Saturday morning. Oh, I had Sunday off work, and you know, they take the temperature, well, the air temperature and the water temperature all the time, and the air was 0.5 and the water was 4.5. Now, that's, you know, it's ridiculously deep water. It's usually 2, 3, 4 degrees above most others, but, you know, for that to get down there, that shows you how cold it's been. But yes, I've been fishing. Got the rods out, tricked all the way down to Monk's Pit for a couple of nights, and mainly because I had the Sunday off, I could get down there early and beat all the regulars, and for a change, have a choice to swim, which I did have. I got there, there was only one fella on, so I had a good walk around, a good chat with the fella, and like you were saying about church, nothing was happening. It was stale, it looked stale, couldn't see anything, so I plumped for a central swim, you know, one that's known to do fish through the winter, and did the do, as in blanked.
not did the do and conquered it. Had 20
cats. No, this is the do for me. But forget this, there was a few more people turned up, including a mate of mine, Dave, who you know, we had the barbecue with. Birthday barbecue for me. I was a year older on Monday. So that's what you do in December. You have a barbecue, fill it full of pigs in blankets, and drink cheap cider.
Well, happy birthday, Alden. How old's that now?
Oh, thank you. 32.
Yeah.
Plus 10. But the interesting thing, we found the fish, as in every single fish in the lake. There was a fella fishing a couple of swims up from me in a swim called the Christmas Tree. Mm. You know, he came down to us and they were saying there was something going off in front of him, like a fish staying on the surface in distress.
Yeah.
So Dave, having far better balance than I have, you know, on with a life jacket, just went out in the boat, and you know, he's quite skillful. You know, it's the only sturdy boat on Monk's, like a dual hulled thing. Anyway, he stood up, he's rowed himself out there, and he's kind of like gesturing back to us on the bank, just pointing in the water. And this is before he's got to where this, you know, fish in distress was, which just swam off strongly when he got to it anyway. But when he gets back in, he's on the deep end, we're talking 18 to 20 foot. And he says about, you know, 8 or 10 foot down, mid-water, it was like a carpet of fish and just about everything in the lake was there.
No way. All cuddling.
Yeah. Yeah, all cuddling. Like, do you remember Rob Hughes had a picture, I think it was in Carpology a while back, and I've seen him use it as a slideshow as well. It was just like, it must be like the thermocline or something. It's just like a flat covering of silverfish mid-water, all in like the same level.
Yeah.
Only this was probably the same, but with fat chunks. And Dave also did say, well, the way he described it, it could only have been porky, the mid-50 in there. He just says this massive, ridiculously wide black thing, where a lot of the other fish, because, you know, Monks is full of simos, a lot of the others, he said they look kind of, you know, pale, which is why they stood out a lot. But this one just dwarfed a lot of them. And as you know, Monks has got a big average size of fish, but you've still got that fish about 10 pounds bigger than anything else.
What sort of depth were they at?
He said he couldn't see exactly, but he guessed between, you know, 8 and 10 foot down. And I know from, you know, the area I've fished it before, I cast a marker out there, it's been about 18 to 20 foot.
So halfway in 20 foot, would you say, roughly?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about halfway.
Yeah, I was chatting with Roger about that at the start of the week. Obviously, we were trying to work out where the fish might be because we guessed they'd all be together doing nothing, cuddling. And he said he reckoned halfway, you know, halfway is the depth. Because we were saying, obviously, if you can find where they are and put a zig in front of the face, probably your only chance of a bite while it's that dead. But what depth do you put the zig? And he reckoned sort of from half to the lower third. That's what he reckoned, and that's the sort of consensus we came up with. But
yeah,
that confirms it, what you're saying there, really.
Yeah, I would have to agree, although Monks is a lot deeper, probably three times as deep as Church. I think similar rules apply, although I did have my fourth rod on a zig, but also I took a little hint what fly fishermen tend to do. In the dull conditions, it's a bright zig. And the hot sunny conditions, also the bright sunny conditions, it's the black. So I had a bright yellow thing out there, and I just wasn't on the fish. And the fellow who the fish were in front of, I don't think he put one zig out the following day. But he just, after he'd given this information, he was just, couldn't understand it. He was reluctant to put a zig out there.
Odd.
And I'm thinking, please move swims. but no, he didn't, and that was as near as we came. We had a barbecue, ate lots of meat, talked lots of bollocks, and had a jolly good time with cake.
Ooh, well, that's generally what we do this time of the year, isn't it? When we go fishing, it's quite often for a social. Although I know there's a lot of people out there listening to this that probably don't get a lot of time off work, and one of the annual shutdowns for lots of businesses and factories and warehouses or whatever is now, isn't it? Quite a lot of people get 2 weeks off and can get 2 or 3 days out. I know a lot of people go fishing New Year, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, you know, instead of going out and stuff, and they've got the Christmas out of the way and the missus is happy for you to go fishing. And it looks like we're going to have fantastic weather this year. It looks like it's going to be worth fishing, I think.
Yes, and out for a double swim, if any of the Monks members are listening, there's quite a lot of bait that are deposited out there. So yeah, Someone's going to have a good hit on it. But I'm not telling you which spot, it's not the main one. I'll tell you what did pop into my mind yesterday. I'm back at work.
Yeah.
And knowing what I know now, and you know what you've just said, on the top shelf, we've got a Deeper Pro Plus in the store.
Yep.
And I was looking at it thinking, if I'd have had that with me, in my armoury, I'd have got down to the lake on Sunday morning, only one fella in, he was in a swim called the Swan, which is a corner swim. A few casts around with that, there's a good chance I'd have found those fish and I'd have been sat with zigs in the face all session and could have caught.
Well, can you get a pretty good discount on that if you wanted it for yourself?
I've not even looked, to be honest.
No.
But, what no, can you do? One can in you, store, can, I think.
Can you get it at trade or anything?
I had no idea, to be honest. I've not even asked the question yet.
Well, ask, because I want it. Yeah,
I can't do it for other people, I know that much. I think I'd get told off.
My mum and dad were asking me what I want for Christmas this year, and the only thing I could think of was a Deeper Pro Plus. But I don't want them to get it, because I can probably get a discount off somebody, you know, one of the shops, or maybe I believe Danny Fairbrass and Cord are distributing them now, aren't they? So
yes, that's where ours came from.
And I need to speak to Danny actually anyway. I'm going to get him to do a Christmas tip and Happy New Year to everybody. I'll speak to him in the next few days, so I might tap him up for him. Tap him up, see if I can get a discount at all. But this time of year, those sort of bits of equipment, like those deepers, seem perfect for me. I mean, Nash is, it's not a huge lake, it's like 4 acres, it's flat calm, nowhere's more than 40 yards out. You could walk around the lake with that and really find where the fish are, I think, because they're going to be grouped up somewhere. I think once you find them, that's the hardest thing in winter when you're not seeing much. It's just finding where they are. And if you know, at least know if you've got two or three rods in amongst them, you know, on zigs or whatever, at least you feel like you're not wasting your time, which is usually what you feel like this time of year.
Yeah, I did feel like that. Although I do have to say, I did have one good liner. That is my result for this week. Yeah. I had a liner.
Well, that's even my zig rods, I'm fishing four liners. I'm not fishing them really tight as I normally would a zig. I'm fishing them, you know, with a good drop. And as
it's
I said,
a good way of...
I've had liners on three or four different rods, all in the last 2-3 hours. It's weird.
It's a good way of just telling things. I've started, I think I mentioned this a while back to you, I've got some nice, either 9 or 10 inch long chains on my bobbins at the minute, so I fish with a nice big droopy drop. How low can you go?
Yeah, we've spoke about indication loads in the past, but I hate using short chains. I just think you miss so much. I mean, they look smart and everything with the bobbins tight near your near your alarms, but it's just so much. You know, they're not flexible enough practicality wise. Sometimes I like a good drop to see exactly what's going on. There's nothing better when there's stuff going on as well, and you've got a really decent drop on your bobbins, you know, your rod's quite high off the ground, a good drop. Is nothing more exciting seeing that bobbin going up and with the liners and dropping back down again to exactly the same spot. And you know, we've said this before, but you know, people are obsessed with using like the stow type bobbins and like almost no chain whatsoever, and you get a liner and the bloody things falls off. Like how do you know what's gone on?
Exactly. I mean, it's talking about liners. Remember when you fish these ridiculously low-stocked pits where nothing happens because there's just nothing out there? And that, the excitement of even just a liner, it's like, oh my God, they're here. You just can't sleep, you're on edge. You're just looking at every move, every bleep has got you out there. And
you get that same excitement this time of year on a well-stocked lake because nothing's really moving. Like, it's a big deal to get some sort of indication. Like it's significant. So
yeah, as long as it's in the daytime, because I'm a bit reluctant to get out of the sack now.
To be honest,
I'm nice and warm.
I've not had a coat on today. I've got a hoodie and a t-shirt, and I've been walking around in that all day. That's how mild it is. It's like 12, 13 degrees now, and
that's because you're down south.
True. They did have
Yorkshire in August.
They had a minus 10 here last week, though. It did get really cold. I think a lot of the country did, didn't it? I know we were minus 3s and 4s in Blackpool, but they did have.
Well, up in Yorkshire, we had to get us big coats out.
The old ones are the best, eh?
The South shut down.
I'll tell you what I've seen on the net. Ever faithful carp feed. Obviously, news is fairly thin on the ground this time of year. But there's a picture of a guy holding a fish in a Christmas hat on Drayton Reservoir, because they are offering free fishing on Christmas Day. What do you think of that?
It's on the net in association with carpfeed.com. So it's definitely true.
I'm kind of in two minds about that one. On one hand, I can imagine, you know, going out for a couple hours in the morning, you know, a father taking his son out, let's catch a Christmas Day carp, then go on for his dinner. That's great.
Yeah.
And the other hand, if someone goes for a session over Christmas and Boxing Day, I think it's, I don't know, is it harsh to say it's probably a bit sad?
Yeah, I mean...
You know, Christmas is not the time to actually go fishing, is it?
It isn't, but not everybody's got a family, first of all.
That is true. I'm being a bit harsh there, but yeah, you know, I don't think I'll ever cast a line for anything on Christmas Day.
No, I mean, if you're recently separated or you've never had a, you know, a partner at the time, or, you know, for whatever, you're on your own, it'd be nice to know you can go somewhere. Maybe there's a few other people in the same boat as you fishing. And like I say, maybe, you know, a lot of people, it's kind of traditional, people go to the boozer on the Christmas Day lunch for 3 or 4 hours. Somewhere like Drayton that's absolutely stuffed full of fish, probably the most heavily stocked day ticket in the country.
I'll tell you what, it's you probably one of the best bets for a Christmas cart with this weather you've just been on about as well. I'm tempted now.
Definitely.
With the wife.
Well, you know, if depending, you might have a couple of fishing families. You know, the ladies are drinking the mulled wine at home. I don't want to be misogynist here, but, you know, maybe it's the ladies that go fishing and the men that cook the Christmas dinner. Whichever way round it is, you know, the other two can be shoot out. Instead of going to the pub for 4 hours, you can shoot down the lake, bag a Christmas carp, and back for your dinner.
Yeah, I don't think it's just fishermen that are mad enough to do stuff like that. I know quite a few places doing Christmas morning swims as well.
Really?
I'll not be partaking in that either, but Boxing Day maybe.
There's I fished on Christmas Day when I was a kid, you know, super keen at the time. I can't remember how old, but I remember I had still had the old what they called those flowery bed chairs with the legs that slipped over in the mud, because it did slip over in the mud.
Bed chairs.
Yeah, I only fished for 4 or 5 hours. I went sort of late morning once the presents and that were done, and I must have got fishing stuff for Christmas. And yeah, I went down the lake, Whirly Mere it was, on the Prince Albert ticket, probably around 30 years ago. I didn't catch anything. I remember it was mild because it was wet and muddy. Because the bed chair collapsed. I remember getting wet. That's about my only memory of the day, other than actually going and coming back for my dinner. But I think that's the only time I've been fishing on Christmas Day. But if the weather was mild and I was on my own, then I'd rather do that than quite a lot of things, to be honest. But if you are find yourself in that position, or you want to go somewhere, they normally get a couple on Christmas Day, apparently. According to Angie Ryder and husband Mark, they told Carp Feed they're open 365 days a year. Normally we only ever get one or two on Christmas Day, but this year we're hoping to see a few more. So it's a nice idea from the Canal and River Trust, who own the fishery. And it looks like there might be a few others joining you this year. It's only for the day, I think. It looks like it's 7 a.m. till 5 p.m. Yes, it is. But yeah, free. Get yourself over there and snag yourself a winter carp. Have you seen anything else, Mark?
It's on the net. It must be true.
Yeah, I saw something I thought was we had a few strange comments under, and someone shared it a couple of places, including the Carpcast fan page. Do you see the picture of the Browning have brought out a little tool? It's a lead with like blades on it for raking swim weed. The sort of product that's been available for years. I've had a Think Angler stainless one that I remember using on the World Pack years ago. I think Gardner do them as well. I've got one of those now, which I actually posted a picture of, because everyone's slating this product, saying it looks like Batman's weapon. And I'm thinking, hang on, that's not new. It's something I've done for ages.
I think it's just because it looks sharp, the edge, doesn't it? It's the same shape as those Stanley blades that you get in Stanley knives, you know, with like, they're like got a little round sort of hook almost on the end.
It's like a little carpet knife.
Yeah, but it's nowhere near as sharp as, I mean, I've not seen them, to be honest, but it's not razor sharp. But everything's got its use. I can't understand the internet, the carpy justice warriors, or the fishing justice warriors.
Oh, that's it again.
They're all at it going, this is disgraceful from Browning, shouldn't be allowed, why would you want this? Well, there are some times I would want a normal weed rake for clearing my spot. And then, you know, if you feel there's some line or something snagged down there, I might flick that out and try and cut through it. You know, it's going to save your fish at some point. But at the end of the day, you can run people over with a car if you choose to, but it doesn't mean that cars should be banned. Like, you know, everything's got a purpose. I mean, we're not saying go out and use this every time you go fishing, cast it in the lake. I've seen people saying things like, you know, oh, you could snag a fish with it. And it's just like, get a grip. You could snag a fish reeling your hook in, but how often does that happen for the amount of hooks that are reeled in on a daily basis, 300-odd days a year? I mean, how many fish are foul-hooked on the way back in? you know, you could say that, you could say we shouldn't cast a pike plug out with a treble on the end and drag it in case we snag a roach on the way back or we snag a carp. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like carpy justice warriors.
Yeah, I didn't really see the point in. It's one of the rare things I felt compelled to actually make a post on there. And, you know, I think it's because when you have you noticed if there is if you disagree with something in a, you know, a kind of a constructive way, it's on. It's not really, well, it is our page, but it's run by Heapy Bob, the fan page. People seem to respect our opinions a little bit, and they don't. It doesn't seem to be as bad as other areas of the internet.
There's something very small scooting across the lake to the island in front of me. It's either some sort of like vole, water vole, or something, or be a rat, I suppose, but there's definitely something bow waving across in front of me. Some sort of
It might be
what
it might be the 4x4 fisher's dorsal fin as it just like slowly ghosts along, barely making a ripple, and it's just flexing its fin up and down slightly.
I've only got my laser
and it's pens sinking.
I've only got my laser pen shine on it. I don't know if I'm gonna get me to
it's just, well, it's just changed direction now, and it's thinking, look at that bold twat zig, I'm ignoring that one.
I can't see it. It's come to the island. I wonder what that was. It's obviously pretty dark out there now. But yeah, we're all getting ready for the Nash Christmas party. What's basically going down? I can say this now because it's been a bit of worry today from Alan Blair that Kevin's bought the house and land next door to his farm, where all the lakes and stuff are, and he's bought it because the house was derelict, and he wanted the land, and he's dug his new lake on there. It's a very smart lake where all the big ones out of the cops now live, plus all the VS fish that he's bought. And there's a house that he's eventually going to get planning permission for and build a new house. I think that's his plan later on down the line. In the meantime, there's a big house sat there, and Alan, in usual Alan Blair fashion, has gone, Kev, can we have the Christmas party in it, or the after party? Alan doesn't do things by half, as you'll probably know if you've seen the Nash stands on any of the shows. Oh my goodness, it's ridiculous. They've been setting this house up for 4 days now. Reedy's been to London today to collect lights, smoke machine, a huge Function One sound system. All the sort of clubbers and DJs will know what one of them is. Function One are like the sort of standard in all the big nightclubs. There's loads of rooms in this house, and they've decorated every room different. So obviously every inch of Nash camo netting's been used for like the main area where the decks are. There's 7 or 8 decks in there, record decks and CDJs, connected to 3 mixers. There's a lineup of DJs. They've done had all the stuff printed for the like big signage like you would see at the exhibitions, at the shows, all in like the scope kind of graphics, like that, but it's all like, you know, the times that the DJs are on, like a club flyer. Same across the front of the decks, it's all printed. One room, Alan's got all of his old UK garage and drum and bass 12-inch records. He's got all the sleeves for them in the days, you know, before CDs and MP3s, where record sleeves were proper. And they've decorated the entire room, all the walls in record sleeves, like everywhere you look. And that's just a chill out room. They've got a ball pond for the centre of that room. Every room's been done differently. One room's just got, they've just got loads of newspapers, and they've just papered the walls with and the ceiling in newspapers. And it's just got a load of sofas in it. One room's just full of Nash chairs and bed chairs, just like chill out rooms. The place, they've had 2 of the rooms graffitied. They've had a graffiti artist come in today to do the rooms. All week they've been going, do you know anyone who does graffing? I'm like, no, don't know. Anyway, they've finally got somebody who's been in there all day graffitiing up 2 of the rooms. And then they've all the Nash lads from the warehouse and stuff, they've all gone out on a meal tonight. They're in some, it's a big circus top, I think, where there's all entertainment on, lots of other companies and stuff there. And they've got a load of flyers printed up to give out to people at this party. It doesn't start till midnight tonight. What time is it now? 7 o'clock as we're recording, so it's 5 hours' time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get woken up. That's why Carl and Alex are here, and Mark Vose, and there's a load of others sort of all around waiting for the guys to come back from here. And word is already out. I don't know how, because they've been instructed to keep it off social media, but It starts at midnight tonight. At 12 o'clock this afternoon, people were turning up with bottles of bubbly going, where's the party? They were knocking on neighbours' doors and stuff at this afternoon. Alan's took his dog this afternoon to be groomed in the local dog groomers. And the woman in there's gone, oh, you're having a party tonight, aren't you? So
somebody's got a leak.
So it's going to be crazy, I think. But it's geared up for him. I mean, this house can probably take a couple of hundred people. It's a big old place. They've kicked it out for it, but obviously they don't want any trouble or idiots turning up, saying, you know, knowing there's a free party. And, I mean, I think they've booked a couple of decent DJs as well. It's crazy. The effort, I've never seen the amount of effort gone into like a proper party you're making money out of, let alone one in Kevin Nash's derelict house. But it's right behind where I'm fishing. So, you know, it'd be great. What a story if one of us gets a fish. Mid party. it could be a bit crazy, but yeah, I'm a little bit scared. There's I'm sure there'll be some. I'm sure Carl and Alex are here to capture some of the goings on. I'm not sure if any of it's going to be broadcastable. I never know. I might take the microphone down there and just get a little bit of it, or maybe I'll do a live stream or something from there in a bit. But yeah, that's why I'm here fishing. As it turns out, I didn't expect anything on the fish front. Obviously, I've just dropped something off on the Zig, and the amount of rods that are out in here tonight now, somebody's going to catch one, I'm sure of it. There's too much activity.
So. Yeah, does the fisherman in you not think, nah, I'm not bothered about this party, it's a bit overrated, I'm going to fish. Let everyone else go to the party, then you've got the lake to yourself.
To be honest, I had the lake to myself last night and today, and I thought that was going to be the case, and they're all going to be coming back at midnight, all steaming drunk from the first party, and I was like, do you know what, I might just sleep through it and do exactly that, wake up with no hangover tomorrow and just have the lake. But obviously there's people from the office turned up, you know, like Carl and Alex and stuff, that are fishing tonight. Yeah. And they're all going to be going to the party later, so now there's a few of us on the lake. It's like, all right, I did buy a case of beer. I've got a case of beer in my van, so I'm going to shoot down in a bit, grab that, and we might as well start a bit of a party up here, I think. Yeah, we might as well start a bit early. So yeah, I've since I got here, I've gone through all emotions of, do you know what, I'm not going to the party. I'll pop my head in, say hello, and then it's been, no, I'll just go to sleep, and then it's been, yeah, I'm getting fully involved, and I've gone through all those emotions in the last 2 days. But I'm quite excited now it's coming, because the detail they've done in that house is unreal. I mean, when do you ever get a house that size legally that you can use to have a party? The only thing I'm worried about is half of Essex coming and the police turning up and everything. So that's which is very, very possible.
Yeah, you mentioned legal. Obviously, you've got Kevin's permission, but in the like noise pollution levels and laws and stuff, you've got to behave too.
Yeah, we're in deepest, darkest Essex. This is like Millionaire's Road. This road that that it's on, that there's, you know, there's a good few hundred yards between houses. Half a mile between some of them. They're all big detached. Most of them are farms. I mean, it's called Lower Farm Road, and it's just that's why each property's got loads of land behind it, because they were all farms back in the day. Yeah, some of them still are, but most of them are just like rich people and horses and stuff and stables and lakes and tackle owners. But yeah, there is a house opposite. But I mean, it's still probably 100 yards. But I mean, they've had the system running all day today, and I didn't hear it, but I did hear it just before we started recording. I could hear that they were playing music, so.
Yeah. Getting already all pumped up.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit scared, but
it should be good. Have you booked Derek Ritchie to do it?
The Don's not getting it on here. The Don's getting it on somewhere else. I just saw him on them. I just saw he's getting it on. Oh, I can't remember now. I just saw him on Facebook a minute ago while I was looking for stuff before we started recording. But the Don is definitely getting it on somewhere, but not at a party. I think he might have been with his mum or something. I know he's just been on Aldi, because he's had loads of pictures of himself by the pool in the blistering heat, by the look of it. which I've been affected by SAD, I think, this year. I've definitely been down a bit, and I've had quite a lot of sun this year, fishing abroad. Check out vipcarpholidays.com for the Balkan trips. I think May's pretty much sold out now. June's a really good month over there. There is weeks left in June. River Lots sold out through all the summer, but I think there is the odd week outside. And the awesome St. Armand Leisure, St. Armand Lake, farmhouse, private lake and stuff is available. There are plenty of weeks left next year, and you get up to 8 or 10 people in the farmhouse, private fishing, your own lake up to £50. And it's absolutely fantastic. So check out vipcarpholidays.com for all that. But yeah, the Balkans trip, September's filling up pretty fast now. May's, we've got people there every week. I think we've got about 16 customers in May, I think. Possibly could squeeze a couple more in if you wanted. But June's fantastic over there, and there is availability in June. We're not doing much July and August because it's festival time in Croatia. But we can squeeze you on if you want. If you're coming over, what, a few days on Bled, and you're with your missus or whatever, and Gaspar's over there as well as me, even if I'm away in Croatia at the festivals, then we can still cater for you with Gaspar. So yeah, brpcopholidays.com. Northern Anglia show coming up. We'll do more of that after Christmas. Well, after the new year, really. We shall be doing a Christmas edition. Mark, what are your plans over Christmas? Have you got much other than stuff in your face?
I've got 2 days off work, so I shall be stuffing my face and then feeling guilty and going for runs.
Oh, it's healthy, Mark, now.
Yeah, do you know, my wife, she got me this like TomTom GPS sports watch thing. And it's quite good. It kind of like holds you accountable. But I'm going to have a look now, see how many, see what I've walked today.
Does it do your steps and everything?
It does. Today I've done 7,372 steps, and it's quite accurate because I've walked around the shop counting my steps and it got it right.
My iPhone tells me per day how many steps you think I've done. Oh, I'm saying that, I've not had my phone on me all the time. Is there something going off on the fan page today? Heapy Bobs has sent me a message saying, are you watching the fan page?
So Derek Wonders posted here, anxiously, impatiently waiting for Mark Holmes' podcast and whatever it stirs up in its aftermath. Obviously looking forward to see what Mark has to say. And then, well, I just have to mention the name Bernie Loftus replies several times, and that tells you everything you need to know.
Yes, he's not quite as vicious as some of the internet trolls, but he does love a troll, does old Bernie. Yes, he tries to skate between the line of toxic and trolly. he skates that line very finely, I can assure you. But I know a few people that used to respected him a lot over the years. Yeah. Do not.
I'll tell you what, though.
Yep.
This is one comment from him that I'm going to respond to when I get up. And he's replied to someone called Mark Walters. He's put, Mark, have you noticed every guest is there to promote themselves and have some financial involvement? Sorry, Bernie, but that's bullshit. You obviously don't listen to the show. I think you should, if that's what your actual opinion is.
Yes, and for all those people who keep saying Bernie would make a good guest, I asked Bernie. Bernie has nothing to promote, and I asked Bernie a year ago, because I know he's got lots of good stories from the old school. I know most of them because Roger used to fish with him in the same waters and stuff when they were young in the 80s. And I know Bernard was a very well-respected angler in those days, and I know he's got some great stories, and I asked him to come on and tell him, and he can vouch for that. And he will also know there was no financial promotion or anything for anybody. I wanted him on because he'd tell good stories, and we will literally ask anybody. It's obviously easier to get guests who've got something to promote. It's obviously much easier, but we ask anybody and everybody. You know, I've been pestering Rob Allen, who, you know, he's not involved in fishing financially in any way. Caught the big one from Tatton this year. You know, I've been pestering him about coming to the Northern Anglia show and doing a live carp cast there. Like, I ask many, many people. Obviously, the people with something to promote are much easier to get on the show, but we ask everybody, you know. It's just, you know, people that tend to be well known in the industry are the ones that people want to listen to. So, yeah, it's absolute shite, Bernie. And you'll know because we've asked you and you've got no financial gain in anything. You just didn't want to do it. So, you know, please stop asking, or everybody else, stop asking for us to get Bernie on, because I can assure you, getting guests is not easy, and we've asked pretty much anybody you've ever mentioned, we've asked them. And anyone we haven't asked, it's because maybe it slipped our mind at a particular time. I have to write them down when names come into my head, and then when I get a day where I'm trying to hunt a few guests down, I'll go through the list. But obviously, if I'm not remembering them at that particular moment, they don't get asked. So don't take it personally if you've not been asked. And by all means, you know, if you're somebody that knows me or doesn't know me, and you got a good story to tell, send us a message, because we may just get you on. You know, we are certainly not picky with the guests. We tend to get anybody on who wants to come that's relevant and got something to say, and whether they've got anything to promote or not. So
yeah, I had to kind of keep things varied.
Yeah, we've had a few lake owners on, and people that don't put themselves out there financially, you know. People like Sean Harrison didn't really come on to promote anything. I mean, quite often I give their company a mention, as you know, because they've given us good content. And it's
a bit of courtesy thanking him for coming on.
Exactly, yeah, but they haven't come on because he wants to promote his company. You know, and we have to pester some people to come on, as you will know, Bernie, because we've pestered you, but you're not interested. So, yes, utter shite. But that's the way of the internet.
Yes, we ignore the internet and...
Well, we can't ignore the internet that much, because Mark Holmes he messaged me to talk about a lot of stuff on the internet, and here he is.
The Carpcast, in association with the Northern Angling Show, the North's biggest fishing event at Event City Manchester, 24th and 25th of February. For early entry and the cheapest tickets, visit northernanglingshow.co.uk.
Feels like I'm in love.
So I'd like to welcome man of the moment, a regular to the Carpcast, a regular at the Northern Angling Show, and he's there again this year. Somebody who cannot seem to be in the middle of controversy, usually for catching 60-pound carp. Would you please welcome to the Carpcast, Mr. Mark Holmes. How are we doing, pal?
I'm not so bad, Jamie. I love that intro, mate. A little bit like being a typical Yorkshire, a bit like Jeff Boycott. I tend to polarise people's... opinions, and I don't mind that, Jamie, provided they've met me beforehand. And I get on well with you because we're very similar characters, and I'm sure you'll agree with what I'm going to say now. I don't mind anybody saying I don't like Mark Holmes if they've met me. That's all I ever ask.
Don't judge someone until you've met them, but very much like all things in life, people get a preconceived idea about someone, they meet them, and how many times have you heard it? Someone will say to you, he's not a bad bloke, that fella, or the other side, it's a bit of a swine, that bloke. You know, treat people as they treat you and speak as you find, rather than go with a preconceived idea. So I know I get myself into trouble, and I've tried to be a good lad this last year, but I just speak my mind, and I try to keep it in check. And if that upsets people, I would never do it in an injurious way, but I have an opinion on things, similar to yourself, Jeremy.
Mate, it's better to have an opinion and as you said, be polarised one way or the other. But, you know, who cares about the nobodies, the people that never offer up an opinion on anything, you know, that they vanish into obscurity. And some people find their way of putting the head above the parapet by putting other people down. That's how they get their 5 minutes of fame or their little bit of glory, which is exactly the same as, I mean, I saw a post about you the other day that obviously we've spoke about privately, but you know, we won't give these pathetic idiots the ego of having their names mentioned, but they're doing exactly the same thing they accuse you of. I mean, we'll get into this, but they accuse you of basically being egotistical, and I saw them say everything that's wrong with carp fishing because you happen to have caught a load of big fish from multiple waters over 30, 40 years. But they're massaging their ego by slagging you off. Because at the end of the day, they're doing the same thing. Posting this shite in stupid groups is their own ego boost. And the one guy seems to be getting kicks out of this, on a daily basis, putting other people down as well as you, who's had a pop at me in the past, and like they're everything that's wrong with the human race, not fishing.
You know, well, you know, it's strange because one of the things which I've often thought is that we're all big enough, old enough and ugly enough to be able to disagree with people but have a mutual respect. Listen, bud, let's not be about the bus. Me and you have crossed swords in the past, but there's always been that mutual respect that we can check hands, have a laugh, walk away and go, you know what, Jamie, on this one, we'll agree to differ. And that's what proper blokes do. What proper blokes do is they realise that it's just fishing. You know, there was a dreadful car accident in Birmingham this week, yeah. And there were people killed. That's real life. There's people with terminal illnesses. That's real life. This nonsense about fishing and how important some people play on it. I mean, I won't name the bloke because we won't give him any cred, but for someone to say, I've sold my soul and I'm an egomaniac, you know how many fish I've caught over the years. I could have made a hell of a lot of money commercially. You will never see a piece of tackle that says Mark Holmes on it. You will never even see a bait that says Holmesy bait. That's not me. You'll never see me wearing a garment that says Mark Holmes on it. That's just not the way I do things. And if people think I'm sanctimonious saying that, well, tough, because they don't know me. I do what I do. I say what I say. And that makes me. And that's why on my Facebook, if it's on my timeline, I've got the right to do what I want to do. You've got the right to block me, switch it off, not come to my shows, not listen to me, and to think I don't like the guy. No problem with that. But what you haven't got the right to do is to pervert other people's opinions of me before they've met me by coming up with lies. And just this trolling is terrible. And I've seen it now. I'm old and bloody phlegmatic to it now. I'm not bothered about it. But when I see the harmful thing that they're doing for fishing that has actually turned a lot of people away, it's criminal, Jamie. Absolutely criminal.
Yeah. Well, like you say, I mean, nobody would ever know these people for their contribution to life. Just for their contribution to everything that's wrong about the internet, all the toxicity. You know, these people are toxic shitters. That's the end of it. And you know, they get their kicks and they massage their own ego by putting, you know, they're entitled to not like you, as you said, or not like what you do, it's fine, but putting it out into the general public by that, calling people out, you know, they've done it to one of our friends this week as well, who just cracks on, does his own thing, and it's jealousy. People are getting publicity and they're obviously threatened by it because they're so inferior, insecurity, do you think it is? I don't know what it is.
I have a nice little expression, nobody kicks a dead dog.
Yeah.
And that basically means is, matey who catches next to no, he's always everybody's mate, he'll always have a cup of tea with. The guy that's the top rab, the guy that's catching a lot, will have two types of people next to him. He'll have the guy who's hanging on his every word because he wants to try and emulate what he's doing and catch maybe more himself, or you've got the guy thinking, I wish that were me. I don't like this guy because he's catching too much and he'll put the boat in. But that's life, Jamie, isn't it?
It is, mate. It's the same. As I've said many times, I never fell out of anybody until I caught my first 40-pounder. And the guy that took the pictures refused to give me the pictures. In the film days when there was only one copy of it, and I had to get a mutual friend to step in to even get the pictures off him. It took me weeks. He was that bitter about it, and caused me trouble on that lake, you know. And as I said, if you don't catch fish, everyone leaves you alone.
But it's a tribal mentality that seems to have inflicted itself on fishing, where it might be a particular bait company, it might be a particular tackle company, a big name against another big name. You know what? The only thing I know as I get older, Jamie, is I don't know now. But one thing I would say to people is that if you think Mark Holmes talks nonsense about bait, answer me one question. Why do I constantly catch big fish? Am I constantly lucky? Because I don't know the answer to that. If what I'm saying is nonsense, why when every water that I've been on since I was like 20, and you can ask the people, and I'm sure you know what goes on in my fishing career. I don't do bad, Jamie, do I?
Mate, I've, to be honest, one thing, I've never heard anybody criticise your ability to catch carp, ever. So that's one thing they don't question, you know. It's that goes without saying. I mean, let's be honest, tell the truth. How many 60-pounders have you had?
3, mate. And one thing I would say is I'd rather be known as a nice bloke than an arsehole who caught a lot of big fish. And the thing is this, is that the guy, Mark Holmes, 30 years ago, was not the same guy. I was very, very driven. And I think that's a young man thing. And that's why I cut a lot of slack to lads that are really keen these days. Because you know, Jamie, you're old enough to remember. If I'd have gone fishing 20 years ago on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, I would kind of have had the lake to myself. I tell you what, if I go this week, I won't have the lake to myself, because the competition in this game now from other anglers is so heightened than it was 20 years ago. I mean, when I went fishing to pit my wits against the carp. What I've had to adjust this last 6 or 7 years is I've had to pit my wits against mated to my right, mated to my left, a guy on the other side, and that's a different ball game. And that's where the modern carp fishing game has changed compared to when you and I started hundreds of years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, without a doubt. And I know that keenness threatens people. I mean, you know, we've fired a few shots here at the start of this, but the bigger picture is people are passionate about fishing, and there's somebody on the lake, maybe you're at home in a miserable job, maybe you don't like your missus, you're stuck in a situation with the kids, and, you know, some guy that seems to have it all, you know, he's got all the time in the world, he's on the lake catching the fish. I don't think it's right, but I can see why people get bitter about that, because they wish they're out there doing it. But life's about choices, you know, you make your choices, you stick with them, or you change them. You don't have to be in a job that you hate, you know.
I remember in the late 70s, early 80s, I worked in a textile mill in Bradford in Yorkshire, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine. We were both fishing a reservoir, public reservoir in Bradford, and it usually did about 4 or 5 fish a year. This guy caught 3 in a Thursday afternoon and rang me up and asked me if I'd come down and take some pictures. And I remember it was 3 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, and I told him, I don't finish till 5, but I'll get down after 5. And I remember staring out of the window thinking, fuck me, here am I, buxing him in nuts, going to work in a shirt and tie all the time. And he's just had a season's worth on a Thursday afternoon when the conditions were bang on. Mm. But what you said, that guy lived in a bedsit until he was in his 60s and then he died.
Yeah, it's, you know.
But for everything that's given with the right hand, something's taken away with the left hand. And that's why it's all about balance. And that's why when I do my shows, do my talks, write about things, I always try to look at the other guy's point of view. And I can never forget, and this is, again, one reason why I've never made a big thing about this. You know, I call that caravan park linear, which was supposedly one of the most sought after in the country. Caught it twice in a week. I've not made a big thing about that, Jamie, because I'll be upfront with you. I fished 4 days a week for that fish, and I put 60 kilos of bait in a week for that fish. Now then, there's a guy sat in front row. He's got 2 kids. He works in a warehouse, one bit of Friday. His wife only lets him go fishing every other weekend. He takes 5 kilos of bait. He probably brings 2 kilos home, and he fishes a local day ticket water. What the hell have what I done on that Lake Maxey in Cambridgeshire, catching that caravan park linear, what relevance to him and his fishing is that story?
Yeah.
I might be speaking a different language.
Yeah.
Limitless time, limitless bait, on a choice water, time and access. He's never going to catch as much as me.
No. No, but it's, why do people feel like they have to compare themselves to you? You know, when I used to read the magazines in the 80s, and, you know, I was super keen, you know, which offended people on certain lakes. You know, even when I was at school before I had a job, you know, we were down the lake every night, and the couple of regular carpers then on the Prince Albert Waters, it was, they used to have to scream and hump with us kids because we were there every day after school. I mean, this is even before work, but we were always in the swims. We were catching all the fish. They'd blank. We'd catch loads. And even they got really bitter with us, you know, ringing the bailiffs up, getting them to come down, check us for stuff, and constantly. I mean, it started then, but why? I don't understand why people are threatened by what other people do, and it can only be to show up your own inferiorities. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, is it makes you bitter because you're unhappy with the life that you've chosen for yourself, you know. At the end of the day, who wants to give up, you know, a nice house, two cars, 2.4 children, etc., etc.? Who wants to give that up to, you know, scrounge sausages of people on the way out to be a bank tramp? I mean, it's not for 99% of people. So why would you ever get upset about the 1% of guy that does it? Why would you get upset about the fact he might catch more than you? You know, I wouldn't want that life.
No, it's all about choices, Jamie. And one thing I've realised in life is that if you want anything badly enough, you can get it, but there is a price to be paid for everything, absolutely everything. And I come from a council estate in Bradford, which was, even the Jehovah's Witnesses didn't say anything, but a bit rough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was one of those places where people knew what you were doing and all the rest of it, and I very quickly realised that you have to make your own way in life, but in every sphere, you know, in media, because you're a bit of an entrepreneur, but you, with the Northern Angling Show and with this, it was your idea, and people are look now and want to copy it and come up with rival shows and rival podcasts or whatever, but the reality is the guy who does it first will always be remembered. But some people are not entrepreneurial, and some people can't lead. And I'm not being arrogant when I say this, but it seems to me as though if some people lead in any sphere in life and are successful, then if they're not humble with it, people get the arse. And that's where I've changed over the years. I try to play down some of my catches and all the rest of it, because it is just fishing. And where I've tried to concentrate the last few years, Jamie, you've seen me shows and stuff, is to try and show people that there is another way of carp fishing, but it's up to you how far you want to take it.
Yeah, wise words. So let's get a bit more positive. The last 12 months since we've spoke, you've been catching consistently again, and not Hungarian, Israeli or French fish, I hasten to add. I mean, if you're going to have a pop at somebody, at least get your facts right, I would say. You know, you don't fish, you haven't fished the likes of Home Fen, you know. I think it's fairly common knowledge, the lake in Cambridgeshire you've had a lot of these fish from, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, again, we'll just quickly brief over it. I've never even set foot on Home Fen, and you know, whether people fish that or not, it's their right. It's not for me, but it's their right. But people get so worked up and put two and two together. I find it disgraceful and disgusting. And it's as simple, in any other sphere of life, it would be seen as prejudice and bias and elitism and almost illegal these days. But in fishing, they seem to get away with it. But what I get a kick out of these days, Jamie, is coming up with edges and tactics that keep me catching. And as you know from your own experiences and all the lads you know experiences, the more you catch, the harder this game is, because what we're doing to the fish is like any wild animal, we're conditioning them.
Yeah.
And so if you keep going back to the tactics that have proved successful for you in the past, I'll promise you one thing, you won't be successful. And if, when I wrote about using liquids and a certain product and, you know, getting it to sink like a stone so it's leaking from the top to the bottom and all these edges, that did the do on the water. Don't now, because I had my fill of them. Now I had to go on to something new. And one thing I always remember Kevin Clifford saying to me years ago when I was 15, he said, Mark, if you read about something, it's finished, it's gone.
Mm.
He said, what you have to be doing is you have to be first, whether it's first on the water, whether it's first with a tactic, you've got to develop it for your own water. And that's why a few mates have said to me, Holmesy, the only problem with you, buddy, is you don't tell people what to do. You point them in the right direction, but then you leave them hanging and they've got to work out themselves. and I always say to people, I do that for a reason. How the hell do I know what's in your local water?
I've got no conception of the stock. I've got no conception of the topography, of the geography, of the pressure it receives. So if I was to give a definitive do step 1, 2, 3, 4 and this will happen, and it didn't, you turn around to me and go, he's talking shite. Because yes, those tactics don't work for the water that you're on. However, if you see the tactics that I use and it sets a light bulb off on your water, then maybe you're able to adapt a tactic that works well for your water.
Yep, it's always better to understand why something happens as opposed to, because like I say, there's so many different variables in everything, but especially in catching carp, like say pressure, you know, shallow areas, deep areas, where the shelter is, where the food is, there's a million and one things that can vary from lake to lake. So, you know, understanding concepts and then applying them to your own situation is,
I mean, one that's always made me try harder is how to draw fish to you. We've all, when we've been at it a long time, watercraft is like second nature. And someone said to me the other week, oh, you catch a load of big fish, Holmesy. What kind of bloke does something for 43 years and isn't proficient at it? You'd have to be pretty shy, wouldn't you? To do, you know, if I was in a mill and I was weaving cloth, or I was in a car body department and banging out wings, if I did it for 43 years and I wasn't pretty good, I'd be absolute shit, wouldn't I? So I don't get, you know, the only reason why I've caught a lot of big fish and I can catch them is because I've been doing it an awful long time.
Yeah. And a lot of that's like the experience and the contacts you meet along the way to be able to get to fish for these fish. You're never going to catch 40 pounders if there's no 40 pounders in the lake you're in. But, you
exactly.
know.
Absolutely, exactly. You know, I spoke to a gentleman today, a lad called Ian Dark, and he'd never spoke to me before, and he was a guy from Stoke-on-Trent, and he asked for a bit of advice, and I actually rang him up and spoke on the phone, and I could tell he was taken aback that I'd spoke to him, but he was overjoyed that I'd taken the trouble to speak to him, and I get literally hundreds of requests a year, can I help, and I don't ring everybody up, but where I can, I'll try and help people, and not because I'm some, you know, evangelist, I want to be Mr. Nice Guy. No, not at all.
What I want to try and do is try and point people in the right direction and give them the impetus to work out for themselves, because the only thing I know as I get older and uglier is that when you help someone to catch a big fish, whether it's a 30, 40, 50 or whatever, when it's in the landing net, to a man, I've heard them look at me and go, well, it wasn't that hard, was it? And it isn't. It isn't when you've done it. And that's the key, and this again goes back to the spiteful type of catfish. You know, unfortunately, you have to have some credibility behind you with a record of big fish to be outlandish before people will say he's right. If that's the problem with a lot of bait barons, they don't have any time because they're so busy making bait for other people. They stand up on stage and some arse at the back of the room goes, well, what have you ever caught? And then they fall down. That's one of the things why I get away with a lot of what I get away with, because people say, what you ever caught? And I'll go, bang, 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 bang. And when I do a slideshow, I'll put 5 or 6 big fish and go, right, can we get this egotistical shit out of the way now? This is how I caught them. And that's what people are interested in. Not here's me with another one with my hair on and my sponsored jacket and my blah-de-blah. They're not interested in that. What they're interested in is, how did you put it on your hook, Holmesy? How did you get it out there? Where did you get it out there? What did you do then? What did you do here? That's what keeps people fresh. And the reason why boring old farts like me are still relevant is because we're still catching fish now. You'll very rarely hear me talking about the captures they had in the 80s and the 90s. Not because I'm not proud of them, but because I've got no relevance these days, Jamie.
What, so tell us about this year then. Have you been on the same lake all year? You've been flitting around?
Well, I've been flitting about with a water which I can't mention down in Darkest Cambridgeshire and the Deep Inns One Syndicate. And what I've been doing differently is I've been enthused about liquids, and I sort of devised a way of catching them on liquids a couple of years ago. But I've been delving into it. I'm very fortunate in that you know, I have association with a bait company, and I also have association with a supplier of bait companies. I work closely with Cal Wilson and Steve Carey at BAF, who supply the ingredients
for other bait companies, and so I get my hands on particular liquids that have been broken down from the human food chain and agricultural chain. So I was very fortunate to get my hand on some squid and some bloodworm and things like that, and also I've been messing about with some worm extracts, and I've found that I've been able to pull fish into an area very, very quickly. Problem I had, of course, was keeping them there. And this is what I always say to people when they used to go on to me about salt. I used to say, look, salt will bring them in, but if there's nothing there for them when they're in, they'll go away. Because people kind of misconstrue things. They think people will eat, they think that fish will eat these liquids. They won't eat the liquids because the liquids quickly dissipate in the water column. But what the liquids do, and this is what I would ask people to try and get in their mind from this CarpCast conversation, is that ask themselves a question. You know, a 40-acre pit, a carp can find a bloodworm bed that is less than a pool table size. How can it do that? I'll tell you how it can do that. It does that by pH shifts in the water. And what that basically means is that it's not the bloodworm themselves that have a pH that allows fish to dominate. It's a secretion. And when I used to speak about making a natural ground bait 10, 12 years ago in ACF magazine, I used to use mulmuck. And I used mulmuck because it was literally what lobworms had taken in and shit out. And so basically, it was full of free amino acids. So bloodworms are the same. They secrete and excrete, and that excretion is what causes a shift in the pHs. And the one thing I would say to you is that most lakes in this country, Jamie, have a pH of about 7 to 7.4. And it's been proven that any shift that is 2 plus of that, which is going to make it alkali, or 2 below, which is going to make it acidic, fish will home in on it. So I've been using an amino acid that had a pH value of 5.3, and I'd been fishing it in a lake that's 7.4. And the results have been incredible. And along with some squid extract and worm extract I've been using, it's really come up front to me. But the key is, and this is what I'm going to be showing in my shows this year, and I'm going to be showing at the North Angling Show, is how can you fish liquid at 50, 60, 70 yards. That's where people fall down, and that's where I work really hard, and that's what I've been doing this year, Jamie. And I've never had a year like it, mate. I've caught so many big fish. I think I was looking at my diaries before I came on here, and I think I'd had 43 fish, of which 32 were over 37 pounds.
Wow.
you know?
Yeah.
And of course, I brought my personal best. And again, you know, when people talk about Mark Owens being an egomaniac and selling his soul and being over commercial, no one's seen that picture. So I haven't gone and published the hell out of it, and I could have done, but I wanted to just do something which I promised myself I'd do this year, and people that came to my shows last year will remember this. I said, what I'm going to do this year is sit on the sidelines a little bit on the media side so I can observe what's going on. So then when I come back into the media arena, I can be more relevant. When you're right in the maelstrom of it, and you know this yourself because you do this program every week, Jamie, when you're right in the epicenter, sometimes it's difficult to step back, and you and Mark say to each other, Mark Watson, right, how do we do something different? Because you're constantly in the middle of it, doing it weekly. And I'm very fortunate that I can step back, and I told people, and that's why I'm going to be writing a series in Carpology. I'm on here with you. I've got the Northern Angling Show. I've got a show in Sale. I think there's one down south. It's not that I've gone suddenly secretive all of a sudden. It isn't. It's because I needed time to put together some tactics which, when Mark Holmes gets on the stage, it won't be same old shit, different day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm very interested in the aminos and stuff. We had Mark Bartlett on a little while ago, who seems very clued up as well. Talking about his spod mixes and stuff, and you know, obviously maggots and worms are an important part of it. And he was saying that he replaces Obviously, some lakes where that's banned these days, especially like the Oxford Linear Lakes and stuff, you can't use the maggots anymore. And a few places have banned them now. Is replacing, you know, is replacing that sort of amino content with liquids, as you said, and it's got me very interested, especially with, was it the years ago, was it like mole hill earth or something the Matchman used to use?
That natural mix that I came up and when I did my shows, Christ, 10 years ago, I spoke about it. The best scramble you can use, here we go, is a third mole muck. Now, it's got to be mole muck, not soil. A third mole muck, a third rotted manure. Now, I don't mean shit, I mean rotted manure. So it's a rotted manure that's been on the dung heap for a couple of months where it's had all the aminos drained out of it. So use a third mole muck, a third rotted manure, and a third your base mix.
Yeah.
I developed that for when I was fishing down at Chad, and I wanted something that would go down like a stone and would actually go under the lily pad leaves. Well, the lily pads, the cabbages on the bottom, and fish go underneath. And they develop that. And what it does, the reason why I developed it, is it attracts naturals. And so you've got the amino acids that are in the mole muck, but you've also got the manure that attracts the naturals in the lake. So you've got the amino acids that change the pH level immediately, and then you've got the Daphnia and the Gammarus and the freshwater shrimps that are in the lake coming to the spot as well. You ground bait with that and put a third of your base mix in there, you'll very quickly wean them on to your boilers.
I've seen you can actually buy like pH up and pH down liquids, can't you? Have you tried those, or is it the key with the aminos as well?
Now, to be fair, you look again, and you've got to try and dull it down, because there are three amino acids and there are other amino acids. I've found that there's probably only three or four that work, and I've spoke about this at length. The real one that I would push people towards is a thing called lysine, L-Y-S-I-N-E. And what lysine does is, in order for a fish to break down its food, it has to create a thing called trypsin, T-R-I-P-S-I-N. Now, you and I and human beings produce that in our pancreas.
Yeah.
Fish can't do that. They need to take lysine amino acid into their system in order to produce trypsin. So that's why anything that's lysine rich, which maggots are, which krill are, which bloodworm are, is something that will attract fish. So you start messing about with lysine powders that you can buy on the internet, jobs are good and.
Ah, interesting. So are you mixing the powders in with the ground bait mixes that you're talking about?
Yeah, you can do that, and you can also do these hook bait wraps that I've bored the tits off people about for the last sort of five years. The key to it is, in all these situations, Jamie, is A, developing it for your own water, because one thing you've got to be very, very careful about with chemicals is that there is a massive difference between natural attraction and chemical attraction. And I'll give you an example. Chemical attraction will pull fish in from a distance, and then when they get near to it, if you've overloaded it, it will repel them. Mm. Natural attraction, you can't overload.
Right.
But don't dismiss chemical attraction, because if you use it and you understand it, it can get you the bite you want. And that's the thing. What I've tried to work on this year is getting the bite that I want. When I caught my 61 and a half, it was my only fish. Mm. It was, you know, the various 40s and 50s I've had this year have come as a one fish catch. And it's, I know it's difficult and it sounds like madness, but what I've tried to do is develop something which is akin to the bigger fish. And what I've found with it now, as I'm finding it down, is less is more. When you use something that's got a lot of attraction, you'll get a lot of enthusiastic fish, you'll get multiple catches. But the wise old bastard that's hanging back is not as attracted initially as the smaller ones. You do it more subtly, and the dosages aren't as high, and you cast it in the right way, so you're putting it on the edges of where your attraction is, you'll get your big one, mate.
Yeah, I learned that lesson many, many years ago, that, you know, you've got to think and fish differently for the big ones. You know, fishing for fish, being the most efficient angler on the lake, doesn't always catch the biggest fish in the lake.
It doesn't, there's an old expression that's not used these days, and someone asked me to describe myself,
And I said, I'm a campaign carper.
Yeah.
I said, and when I started, they were the only type of carper, but they're not now. When I used to go fishing, when I started, I would go with the knowledge, I'd blank. And when I didn't blank, it was like a red letter day. Now people go with the expectation to catch every time. And the only thing I know, and I used to say this to people, is, I might not catch the most fish in this lake, but I'll make you a bet, I'll catch the biggest fish in the lake.
Mm.
Because, as an old mate of mine once said, Jim Matthews from Essex, you're not fishing anymore, Jim, but Jim caught a lot of big fish, fish the Manor and all these places. He said to me, he said, when you're hunting a big fish, Holmes, there's three things will happen. It'll die, you'll die, or you'll catch it. and that's my philosophy. And it's not for everybody, Jamie, I get that. You know, people say, oh, it's boring, no matter what. But if you're a campaign carper, it's the end result. But what I always say to people is, be careful about getting to the destination quickly, because when you get there, you might not have all to do. Enjoy
it. Yeah, it's very true. I've gone on lakes after big fish. You know, the ideal scenario, if there's maybe six of the A team, you want to pick them off one by one, then catch the biggest one at the end. You know, if you catch the biggest one first, it's at the end of the day, I do go for enjoyment, you know, and I'm more laid back as I've got older. I've done all the keen stuff where I was obsessed about it, you know, spending every minute when I wasn't fishing on the phone to people talking about fishing, finding out about the lake. And like, I'm relaxing. I go fishing first and foremost to enjoy it. Obviously, I want to catch, and I want to catch good fish wherever I go. But, you know, maybe you wait a couple of years for a syndicate ticket, maybe you plan to have a good 2 or 3 years on there and catch all the A team. I mean, as great as it'd be to catch the big one first, it's not what I'd choose. You know,
an ideal scenario to me is that age is just a number, but you have to be relative to today. And I always say to mates of mine that are my age who started catfishing with me, a lot of them have fallen by the wayside, and they come out with this old school bollocks. And I say, listen, a young lad who's in his 20s, it's not his fault that he was born in this era. We have to be relevant to him today in order for him to be interested in what we say. If I started talking about the good old days in Yorkshire in the 70s, let me tell you, they weren't good, they were shit. No one told you anything. I remember Kevin Clifford turning around to me, I was 15 years old, and I said, Kevin, I want to catch big fish. What's the best piece of tackle I need? And he said, a car, because you'll catch fuck all in Yorkshire.
I mean, it's true. I mean, we've already said it, but you can't catch what's in there, what's not in there. So, you know, that's the first bit, is getting the ticket. I think some people got a disillusion with the fact that money can get you on these lakes these days, as you know, big fish, you know, like deepins where you are. I mean, you know, we'd do the same thing if it was our lake, but you know, the price has gone up, the bigger them fish have got. You know, you look at anywhere that's got multiple 50 pounders, there aren't many places that have got more than a couple of 50 pounders that are under £1,000, you know, and some of them near the £2,000 mark. So it's just how it is. But I think people think now you can go out and buy yourself some electronic equipment, some high tackle gear, you know, some high end gear, you know, from sonars to deepers to bait boats to God knows what, and sacrifice skill with money. Join yourself somewhere like Deepins or the Avenue, or you know, Fish Home Fen week in, week out, wherever, and you're going to catch 40, 50, maybe 60 pounds if you're lucky.
Well, you know as well as I do that I've been rich in my life and I've been poor, but the common denominator is when I was skint, I still caught them, because I realised, and that's why I loved fishing, because fishing was a great leveller. If the guy next to me had thousands of pounds worth of gear and my gear was shit, provided my brain was sharper than his, I would catch more fish than his. And that is still applicable today. And when young lad, what's the best bit of kit? I said, what's between your ears? Try to laterally. Don't go with any preconceived agendas, because the only thing I know about agendas is they only lead to disappointment. Go with no preconceived ideas. Fish what's in front of you, and try and work out what the fish want. But having a mind's eye of how other people are conditioning them, because lines in the water, all that type of thing.
does have an effect on them. But at the end of the day, keep saying it, Jamie, what we're looking for is a massive mistake from them when hunger takes over caution.
Yeah, that's creating a feeding situation has always been the skill to making fish slip up. You know, the skilled anglers pick them off when they're not really having it. But generally, if you can get a group of fish feeding, they're going to make mistakes because of the competition, you know, and it's just not spooking them during while you're doing it. And most of it's logical, isn't it, in common sense?
It is. The only one precursor I would put in there, which I always tell people, is you've got to hold it together when you're still cooking it. That's where. Because
yeah.
I've seen a few lads, you know, they realise what they've got on and they've gone to pieces. You know, they've had no problem playing 20s and 30s. Suddenly they get a 50-pound on and they're all over the place. And again, you've got to... Again, when you see my shows this year, you'll see some quite big fish and they were one-bite sessions.
Yeah.
And if that had fallen off, then that's, you know, no cigar. You know,
yeah.
So you've got to hold it together a little bit. That's the only thing where I would say that there's undeniable skill is being able to convert your chances, you know,
yeah.
And that all goes down to rig mechanics and all those sort of things. But when I do my show at NAS and my writings and stuff this year, it's not just going to be about bait. I've done quite some fundamental changes on the rigs that have helped me to land these things. So I'm really looking forward to getting back out there and showing people one or two tricks, Jamie.
So you're at the Northern Angling Show, which is the 24th and 25th of February, about eight weeks after Christmas. You're on both days, so it doesn't matter if Saturday or the
yeah.
Sunday. You're on
That's
the main
right,
stage
but, yeah.
one day, and you're getting a bit more intimate in the lab on the Sunday, I think. You've got another doing sale, haven't you?
I have, mate. Yeah, it's I don't know what it is about Yorkshire people being loved by Lancastrians. I always thought it was the other way around. But I got so many mates around in Manchester area. I've got a cater for everybody. So just occasionally it's nice to go to a carp-only night where I can bore the tits off people for about 3 hours. And then that, you know, they'll never speak to me again or they become disciples or whatever. But no, I do enjoy the shows because I like meeting grassroots anglers and I like, you know, them coming up with solutions about their own fishing. And what I tend to get at these shows is lads coming up to me saying, oh, I saw you last year, you were talking a lot of shite, it didn't work, or I saw you last year and here's my pictures of what I caught. And I do get a bit of a buzz out of that, Jamie.
So it's on Saturday the 27th of Jan. It's at Sale Masonic Hall. It's been done by PB Products, hasn't it, Paul Meehan?
That's right. Yeah, I've been with them for a long, long time. I was in various guises. They've had more comebacks than Lazarus. You know, they've been dead and risen now, the ashes and all the rest of it. But the lads who've got at the moment, Paul and Jackman, are doing a cracking job. And I've found no need to change. And the reason why I like their end tackle is, I don't make any secret about it, it was devised for foreign fishing. So basically, it means that it's very strong on the fish that aren't as big in this country. So... But I'll be, you know, promo. You'll be seeing the various rigs and stuff and all the sort of things involved. And if people want to say, what about this, what about that, then I'm quite happy to talk to them one-on-one, Jamie.
Tickets, jack@pbproducts.co.uk is email Jack, who works for PB. Yeah, I know all about PB. I actually met Pete and Bert on the side of the lake where they used to live, Slaughterplass.
Well, that's amazing. Do you know, you're the only person I know... Other than perhaps John Bannister, who knew what PB stood for. I said to people, I said, oh, it's personal best. And I said, no, it's not. I said, it's Pete and Bert. No way, fuck off. Pete and Bert, you're joking. No, I said, these two Dutch guys were called Pete and we'll have to start up an end tackle J&M. Or has it already been?
maybe. Yeah, I still, in fact, I'm on my last spool. I don't know if the jelly wire is as good as this stuff they've had for the last 10 years, but the main hook link before Atomic copied it, because Atomic had the distribution for a little while.
Yeah,
they've obviously spelled it different, but I'm on my last spool of that and I've got about a meter of it left. So if Paul or Jack can hook me up, if it's the same gear still, because I mean I've sworn by that gear for years, well 10 years
at least. And the one thing is, you know, if you've got 100 products, 30 of them will be shite, 30 of them will be brilliant, and 60 or whatever the math is, 40 rather,
40 will be, some people like them, some people don't. And that's very much the PB products. So there's some that are outstanding, and I won't go into them now, but they'll see on the night that some of the stuff that I've used is there, you know, I won't go anywhere else. There's no need to. And I think it's all about, the one thing about there's no good about getting old, absolutely nothing, but the one thing about being old in your carp fishing is you don't get bogged down with inconsequential stuff like, what hook should I use? Because you've settled on your tackle, you've settled on your bait, and then all your focus is on catching the fish. I think what a lot of inexperienced anglers suffer from is there's so much going on in their heads, bless them, that it's not all about the end game, it's about the other stuff that lead to it beforehand, and that takes them away from thinking about just catching them. And I think that's something that, a little tip I'd give to people is, don't get caught up in the carp world, get caught up with the carp, and that's the fundamental difference.
Very, very good advice. Well, I encourage people to get down to see you in Sale, and then obviously Northern Angling Show in February. Look forward to having you there. I mean, unless you want to fire any more shots at anyone, have you got anything else?
No, not really,
you need to
mate,
get off your chest.
Well, to be fair, I think, you know, we know about the bullying that's gone on and all the nonsense and stuff. And, you know, given these people, I listened with interest to what you and Mark were saying last week. And, you know, bless him, I thought Mark was very profound when he said, I'm not a dick. I think he said it, he summed it up in one word, really. At the end of the day, I could have around an empty room. But one thing I know is that some people, whatever I say, it will be wrong. And some people, if I talk nonsense, they'll think I'm right. It's all about opinions. But at the end of the day, if people want to take me on, judge me on my catches. And then when they judge me on my catches, then they have to admit begrudgingly, well, for all his foibles, he has had a few.
You know? Well, I also like how you summed it up right at the start. No problem with anyone who doesn't like me that's actually met me, because yeah. I would say 99% of all the people that don't like me, I've never spoke to, never
exactly,
met.
Jimmy. Exactly.
And people can form a bad opinion. If they form an opinion because they don't like you, they think you're a prick, then fair enough. Yeah. I can't argue with that. We all can't get on with everybody. No. But, you know, if you gain that opinion because somebody else has got an axe to grind, because maybe they're jealous or bitter or God knows what. But better for people to have an opinion about you than be insignificant, I think. So,
Brilliant.
Fantastic, right, Mark. Pleasure to speak as always, and I'll see, if I don't see you in January, I'll definitely see you in February.
Yeah, you take care. Have a good Christmas, fella.
Cheers, pal.
Take care, mate. Bye.
The Carpcast is sponsored by Clearwater Fisheries, the North's premier fishery complex. For more details, visit clearwaterfisheries.co.uk. The website at www.thecarpcast.com. There you'll find extra content, merchandise, and lots more to support the show, including our entire back catalogue of free offerings.